Welcome to the Balance Love Life and Business Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing Miss Deborah Shalay Wilson. Deborah, why don't you take it from here?
Okay, thank you, Tanya. Well, I'm very excited and pleased to be able to share some things that I've experienced over the last few years and kind of what came out of those experiences that have been beneficial to other women that I work with in my private practice and as a coach. So let me begin by kind of giving you an overview of what we'll be talking about. Over the course of the last few years, I've developed a program called the Three Pillars of Self-Care, and it's designed to help women live more of a balanced life of love and balance in work and in relationships and in all areas of their lives. And there's three pillars to it, and we'll be looking at self-honesty, self-alignment, and heartful communication. So how did this all begin? Well, it began about 6 years ago when I had gotten to a point in my life where, you know, I'm sure you've all experienced this, things are going just fine, you know, everything's rocking along, but yet somehow you feel like something's missing. And I was doing well in my career and loving what I did. And then some things happened, some experiences happened that kind of left me a bit on the overwhelmed side and made me begin to question some things about myself. And I didn't realize until one day I looked in the mirror and I saw this really tired, drab face looking back at me, and I'm like, what in the heck happened? And I realized that things had changed. You know, we live in such a fast-paced society in the 21st century, and things change quicker than you can figure out how to do the first thing before it's changed into something else. And I think that's created what I call the new normal, which is overwhelm. It's how do I keep up with everything? How do I keep up with my family? How do I keep up with my business? How do I keep up with, you know, my community, things that I want to do? You know, as women, we're very nurturing and we want to be helpful and caring to people in our lives. But it can get to be a little bit overwhelming because we're being pulled in so many different directions. And I was in that place too. I had begun to feel like, well, I don't know if you've ever heard the little story about the frog, but if you put a frog in cold water, and you heat it up, then the frog will boil itself to death. Whereas if you put a pot of water that's boiling and you put the frog in it, it's going to jump out. Well, I felt like I was in that pot of boiling water and I didn't know how to get out. And so that caused me to start, you know, asking myself some questions, because this was not what I had on my agenda and on how I wanted to live my life. So I realized that overwhelm leads us to losing connection with our core self. That part of us that, you know, the fun part, the joyful part, the part that's creative, and can figure out things and find solutions for things. But when we get into overwhelm, we kind of get in that gerbil cage kind of place of survival and lose contact with things that may be really important to us that we've kind of forgot. So the first step that I began to look at is to really be self-honest. I mean, how often do we really just stop and take time in our busy, hectic lives to just pause and reflect on, okay, how did I get here? You know, and how do I get out of here and get myself to a different place? But when we're stuck in overwhelm, we may not even know what all that is. That's what happens to a lot of my clients. They know that they don't like where they're at, but they're not sure how to get to someplace else because they really haven't identified what they really want to do. And so that's part of the work that we do together. So if you aren't really being self-honest, I mean, how are you going to know what you need to align yourself with, you know, to move forward in your life? So are you stuck in your survival self, or are you moving forward in a more creative place? And from what I understand about stress, when we're in that stressful place and in that survival mode, we're really in a place of fear and don't sometimes know it. Because even in that place, what's amazing to me is even in that place of fear, we can go through our days and we can accomplish lots of things. You know, we can just kind of keep on keeping on, but we're really just kind of living on autopilot, which to me really isn't living. And that's where I was when I began to look at, okay, who am I and how did I get here and where do I want to go? So every day we're invited to be distracted by actually doing that pause, taking that pausing moment. And so what I had to do was I just kind of turned off a lot of my technological devices. I spent quiet time with myself and just to sit and breathe and just feel my body. I didn't realize, and you know, it's like sometimes you don't realize where you're at until you're out of it. And then you go, oh, I didn't know that I wasn't feeling my body as I'm going through all my busyness of my day. And so that's when I began to look at what have I been really running from and what am I really afraid of? Because a lot of times, you know, fear is false evidence appearing real. And it does seem to be kind of the fog in our mind at times that keeps us stuck in that. And through the process of pausing and reconnecting to my core self, I began to realize that I needed to just embrace everything that had happened to me, the good, the bad, the ugly, the places where I maybe had disappointed myself and felt like I really hadn't done a good job. But to really have self-compassion and just kind of step back and from a non-judgmental place, realize that some of the beliefs that had been running me were the belief that I wasn't enough. But yet look at all the things I'd done. I mean, how often do you look at all of the things that you've done that support other people and where you care about other people and you're making a difference in other people's lives? I mean, how often do you look at that? You know, we seem to, you know, look at the things that aren't going well and we get a distorted sense of who we really are. So looking at the good, the bad, and the ugly, for most women that I've worked with, we don't have a problem looking at the bad and the ugly. We can, you know, tell you all about that. But to look at the things that we've achieved in life, we have a tendency to discount that. And I think that's where our real power is in looking at what we've done well and looking at our strengths and supporting those in ourselves and then supporting that in each other. Because, and that's part of the three roots of, I think, of overwhelm is that we believe we're not enough. We get pulled in so many different directions and everything is important. And when everything becomes important, really nothing is important. And so that also leads to no time for self-care. And that's why it's important to look at yourself from a no-blame zone is what I call it, and really be self-honest. But more self-honest than you've ever been about acknowledging the things that you've done well in your life and how you've your greatness that we have a tendency to discount. And then the second thing that I began to realize is that it's really important to identify your values, to really identify what is really important to you, because one size doesn't fit all. Each one of us has a unique life. And so what's important to us is maybe different. It may be the same, but we need to look at what's important to us, not what everybody's telling us should be important. And when you do that and get in a self-alignment and have that clarity of this is what's important to me, you know, maybe it's taking care of family, taking care of children and maybe aging parents or a child who has special needs and challenges that maybe take more time and patience with them, but it's what you want to do. And, you know, so those are the things that I feel like women need to quit comparing themselves with each other and look at their own unique life and clarify for themselves what's really important to me. What are my values that I want to live live from? Who do I really want to be in this life? And then that becomes your new definition for success. Because I know for me, because of some of the outcomes that didn't go the way I wanted, I began to feel like I had failed. And what I realized is when I looked at my values, I had lived consistently with my values in those situations, but I wasn't in control. I wasn't in total control of the outcome. And that was a big wake-up call for me to begin to really look at how consistently I had lived with my values, but I hadn't given myself credit. So they weren't really, it wasn't really doing me any good. It wasn't nourishing me and energizing me and helping me, you know, to deal with all the other stresses and strains in life and help me kind of chart my own course of what works for me and what empowers me. And that's what I love to see is women gaining this clarity for themselves and coming up with a definition for themselves and creating their own what I call You Incorporated and defining what that is for them, because that can be very, very empowering. Because what we focus on is where our energy goes. So if we're focusing on the things that aren't working, then guess what? We're going to get more of those things. Whereas if we focus on what we're doing well, then those can empower us to find solutions for the other things that maybe aren't going as well as we want to. So this can be a really fun time of discovering, number one, just things in your life that you maybe haven't even remembered. I know as I went through this process and creating it, I began to realize how many things that I've done, and I mean, I did them and I lived them and I just really didn't give them any credit at all. And so it's like if when we don't start giving ourselves credit, apparently we're not, you know, necessarily going to get it. So it's like getting okay to toot your own horn, because that does empower you and nurture you and then help you be able to help other people as well. So values in the self-alignment become your litmus test for how you're doing in life. And your new questions becomes more, am I living consistently with what I say is important to me? And if I am, then that is how then you can begin to measure your success as a human being. And if not, if you're not living consistently with those values, then that gives you a measure and a direction of what things you need to work on. So you don't have to get into any blame or criticism or judgment. You just start focusing on what do I need to do so that I live consistent with those values. And then the third pillar is what I call honest, heartful communication. And this was a challenging one. And I think this one does challenge us, because if we're not self-honest and have a realistic experience of who we are and then connect to our values of what's important to us, you know, how are we going to connect honestly with our heart and our soul and the things that really speak to us and have deep meaning that really takes us out of the gerbil cage when you make those kinds of connections and you just can feel your body and feel the embodiment of these things. It's very transformative. So this one is a little bit more difficult to kind of just explain, because there's a lot of work that goes into getting into this this pillar. So what I'd like to do is share some Martha's experience, kind of how she used to not heartfully communicate with her husband, and then how she's come to learn to be more heartful in her communications and the difference that is made in her life. So Martha was, you know, in the kitchen one evening after a long day's work. She has a business, and so she had done her business all day, and it was late in the evening. They'd finished dinner, and she was in the kitchen cleaning up when she noticed, you know, that her husband, yes, he'd been working all day too, but he was sitting in the living room watching TV. And when she noticed that, she felt this little twinge. And then a growing heat kind of passed through her body, and her mind started chattering away. You know how that goes. This isn't fair. I worked all day too. Why does he get to sit down and I'm still slaving away? And then it escalated into the past. This is just like when I was a kid and my brothers got out of doing the dishes because they had to go to practice baseball. But I had to do the dishes before I could go practice my piano. Not fair, not fair. So now her, what I call survival system, is on fire. And, of course, she doesn't want to say anything. So she starts banging pots and pans, which is a form of communication, just in case anybody's not aware of that. And then she starts closing the cabinet doors in the kitchen a little bit harder than usual. You know, and this is kind of her way of trying to get attention, but it's also her way of trying to calm herself down. It's like she's used that energy that's inside of her is going into banging the pots and the pans. She's trying to get herself regulated, but it's not working very well. And so just as she puts the last pot away, her husband does the worst thing he could do. And he asks her, anything I can do to help? Well, that just starts her explosion inside all over again. And what I call the survival bitch comes out and she yells, you don't appreciate me at all. I'm just the maid. Stomps off, slams the bedroom door. Well, her husband's just sitting there dumbfounded and wonders to himself, well, what got into her? I just asked if I could help. So he shrugs his shoulders and goes back to watching TV. I don't know how many of y'all can relate with that scenario, but I do think it happens in many households, probably every night somewhere. And it's kind of like a loop of misunderstanding that I think we have sometimes in our relationships. So after Martha went through the three pillars of self-care and began to really connect to herself, realize what was important to her, have a better understanding of her the good, bad, and ugly things that have happened in her life, and learn some self-regulation kinds of techniques that I teach people. This is the new scenario. So it's kind of the same thing, both home after work, eat dinner, she's in the kitchen, he's sitting down watching TV. But the difference is now when those that trigger and that old wounded story of the past raises its head, Martha recognizes it for what it is. So she uses the calming techniques that she's learned that help her remember her values and her intentions to how she wants to live her life and how she wants to be in the world. And in that calming of herself and her nervous system, she's able to connect to the value of the relationship she has to her husband. She remembers other things he's done that have helped her, other things that helped the family, you know, things that she really appreciates about him and, you know, how she feels grateful for that. And so as she calms herself, this time she asks, honey, will you come help me get this kitchen cleaned up? I've had a long, tiring day, and I could really use your help. And, of course, she gets a different result. So sometimes it works this way. Sometimes it doesn't. A lot of it depends on where a person is coming from, because energetically we feel each other at a very unconscious level. And how we're feeling when we communicate, if we're coming from a heartful place, that is felt in the other person very differently than when we're coming from that fear-based survival place of frustration and anger and, you know, even getting triggered into the past where we're kind of raging at the person and they're wondering what in the heck happened, because there's no evidence that we should be reacting that way in the present moment. And that's where a lot of compassion and self-understanding needs to come from as people work with their own issues so that they can understand themselves from a very heartful, soulful place. So I've come to realize that the lifestyle we're creating in the 21st century is a mixed bag, and we're all trying to figure out how to deal with everything. And it's almost like sometimes our nervous system gets triggered into this place where we almost see everybody as the enemy and we're very defensive. And the work that I do with women is to help women deal with that within themselves so they can become more empowered in their lives and be able to make the positive changes that they want and to have more of a balanced life, because we do have work and then we have, you know, things that we like to do and our family and our community. I mean, we're the nurturers. And if the nurturers aren't nurtured, if we don't self-care and find ways to do that and find ways to deal with the stresses that we're encountering in life, then we can't other care. Or if we do, then we're doing it from a very resentful place instead of a loving place and of realizing that this is my choice. I'm choosing to do this because it's who I am. It's what I value in my life. And that's just such a more powerful place than I have to do it. You know, I just, you know, it just, there's no comparison. And so that's why self-care is so important. Because if we're not self-caring, then we're in survival mode. And that, we know, is where our thinking's confused and distorted, short-term memory gets suppressed, and we react from the past or we're reacting about something that might happen in the future. But either way, we are not in the present, which is all we really truly have, is the present moment to make a difference in our lives and in the lives of other people. So in summary, the three pillars of self-care or self-truth-telling, you know, in owning all of who you are. Because what I've found is when I own all of who I am, everything that's happened in me, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I am free. I am free to create who I want to be. And then I can get into self-alignment and really connect to my values and also to the soul part of who I am, which is really important to me. And from that place, I can heartfully communicate with the people in my life. And doing that does something incredibly wonderful to your body, into your emotions, into your mind, and just makes life so much more meaningful and joyful and wonderful. So that's the three pillars of self-care. So remember to allow yourself to pause and breathe, and then you can think more clearly about all of the challenges that face you in your life from a more heartful place than a fear-based place. Because heartfully, we're connected to our intuitive intelligence, which is where we will find solutions for our life challenges. And from that place, you get to choose how you want your life to be rather than react from how it's been. So if you choose self-care, I'll be happy to offer you a 15-minute chat to see if the three pillars of self-care are right for you. You can call me at 903-850-6334, or you can text. That's my cell phone, so you can text me there. I'd also have a free ebook called The Someday Aisle of Women's Self-Care, which are tips to lowering stress. And I also have two books on Amazon that are self-help books for women. One is Woman on the Edge, Harnessing Your Personal Power and Finding Inner Peace. And then the other one is Your Antidote for Overwhelm. And so I'd love to work with y'all.